Hey SEOs and content marketers, say goodbye to crazy spreadsheet mashups and experience unprecedented connectivity between your SEO planning and reporting data. Introducing Audience Key, technology for keyword mapping, content brief automation, and rank tracking that form an SEO strategy system providing unparalleled feedback loops between planning, reporting, and optimization activities. Put your time and energy into strategy, not data upkeep. Visit audiencekey.com and apply for a free trial today.
FM. It's the 18th of April, 2024. This is Jim Hatcher from Digital Always Media and Christine Schackinger from Sites Without Walls, and the beats go on. The March 2024 core update continues to roll on, and according to Jabari Schwartz, who tracks this quite closely, and there's a great deal of volatility in the last 24 hours. People who got hit are continuing to get hit. The beats go on. Additional declines in the last couple of days from declines seen in March and
from September.
And from the September HCU update. Mm-hmm. And I feel awful for those people. I feel awful for, and again, this is people who have already been hit are feeling the pinch even more. I'm not.
Like, seriously?
It's terrible. Yeah, I can't relate to this at all.
Well, I am trying to recover a couple of sites that were hit. Well, we haven't gotten to the recovery point yet. So, I mean, as far as expecting one,
at this point, do you even know what to expect?
No, but these are new, so I don't know. We haven't done anything yet. We haven't tested anything yet.
Right.
I do have to say, though, Google, once you take 90% of people's traffic or 80%, do you really need to take more? Like, there should be some threshold. Like, you know, we already killed your site. You don't need to step on the dead body and jump around. I'm just saying.
Well, maybe. I mean, like, maybe it's that 50th and final knife thrust that basically says, hey, Caesar, you're dead.
But the classifier is already there that they've been hit hard. Like, okay, leave them alone. Like, you don't need to hit them twice.
Okay, again, awful. I don't think Google's hitting anybody intentionally, including the people it hit before. It's just continuing on in a path that it clearly intended to go in.
Right, but they put a classifier on the site when it's been hit, so they know a site's been hit. So I'm just saying, maybe not hit it twice. That's all. You know, and traditionally they don't hit a site twice. Hit it once by the core update, you don't get hit by the second one. So, you know, while you're trying to recover. Anyway, just that.
Okay, while Google is still churning through an ongoing update, this is week six of what we thought was going to be a 4-week update.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a week seven.
Week
seven.
Yeah, actually going into week seven for sure. Yeah, because it started the first week of March.
So the update continues as of the time of this recording. I honestly expect it to stop any minute now. It's just around the corner, just over the bend. Honest to goodness, I feel like one of those unending GIFs. that just like tease you with a surprise ending, but you keep waiting because it loops back to the start again. That's what this feels like, but it's got to end soon.
Yeah, we hope so. There can't be a whole lot left to it, right?
Well, I mean, one of the ways I suspect it's going to end soon is we know that Cinco de Screw You is coming up, right?
That's a good way to put it.
Well, okay, and this is what it's on May the 5th. It's widely anticipated that Google's going to be going after predatory sites or introduce, even new spam policies, including what they're calling the site reputation abuse policy, basically parasitic SEO. If you're trying to piggyback on somebody else's earned laurels, you may well find yourself and them highly penalized. They're going to be so I suspect the core update ends before Cinco de Mayo, before May 5th.
Yeah, I do.
But
Yeah,
it
I agree.
mightn't. There's going to be apparently, maybe it'll just all seem like one big thing because we're going back to manual actions again.
Yeah, they I think it's a new rollout. I don't think to overlap them just because the nature of the update is different than the last ones. I am curious though. The big sites that are selling all sorts of stuff have no relation to their brand. Part of it I understand. A lot of its publishers are just desperate to raise money to keep reporting and pay journalists, and some are not. But what do you think they'll do with those? You think they'll be part of this update? Because they gave a big amount of forewarning, which generally means some big people are going to get hit. They don't
Well,
care when the little guy is demolished, but they definitely warn when the big guys are about to be.
there's a couple of properties out there that I think would absolutely deserve it if they did get hit. First and foremost, there's the big difference between the actual real life magazine version of Forbes and the online abomination of Forbes.com
Yes.
are very different animals. Forbes.com is probably the most prestigious online property you can buy your way into. And it's true. That's
It's very
absolutely true.
true. It's
And
very true.
that's parasitic SEO. Forbes.com didn't actually write that piece about Cialis pills. It didn't. But that piece about Cialis pills is probably providing a very strong reference link to a website that sells Cialis pills. And that's, part and parcel of parasitic SEO. That article itself is also probably linking well and driving more than search traffic and search energy. It's driving actual real world traffic to the website selling Cialis. And again, that's Google's going to crack down on that sort of stuff.
Yeah, it's just I just have to wonder. Like, I do know there's big sites that do it, and they do it legitimately. Like, they legitimately review products, and maybe they're not in line with their brand completely, but they people test them and review them, and they put up an affiliate link. But then there's the sites where it's just affiliate links, like ranking for crazy stuff. So we'll see. I'm just curious how many big brands are going to get hit at this time.
Well, I mean, there's getting hit in the way that smaller publishers might relate to getting hit, and then there's getting hit like a big brand gets hit. They're not gone forever. It's so much easier for a really large property to absorb punishment and come back
Sure.
from a devaluation, or come back even if they had a manual penalty applied against them. If that thumb was ever taken off the scale by Google, it quite frequently the big brand is so heavy, it'll bounce back fairly quickly, right?
Yeah, I also think it's interesting. Big brands, a lot of people think Google just prefers big brands, and that's not the case. It's just their SEO strength is so much bigger.
Yeah,
Although
yeah.
I do think, and I have been told, I don't know, I've never verified this with someone at Google, but someone who had an insight at Google said that there is a whitelist for certain sites to be in the index, which makes sense because if CNN wasn't there or, the National Geographic because they made a mistake, it would make Google look like a bad search engine, right? So that makes sense. But generally, the
Although,
traffic
for what
is up.
I'm glad you mentioned National Geographic, which at one time was one of the most important magazines to me, like really, has replaced much of its paid writing staff with AI.
National Geographic
So
has? I didn't hear about
National
that.
Geographic has, yeah. I mean, please look that up. I might be wrong. I don't believe that I am. Them, Sports Illustrated, and a
Sports
number of other
Illustrated.
publications are going down that road and thinking that they're going to save much needed monies. And if Google was to eliminate properties like this, because they were once really important and once really useful, but now, everything has a beginning and an end, and the shift in media culture and media consumption may well be putting an end to some of these biggest of brands, or
Well,
formerly
also,
biggest of brands.
a lot of them have been bought up by private equity firms, and all they're trying to do is get dollars out of them. So they starve their journalists. You know, they cut them.
Well, yeah. So, and so in many ways, this isn't actually that brand that we know and love, that venerable name that's really important to us. It's a shadow of its former self because it's been gutted. So if it was to fall out, maybe it's, you know, maybe that will happen in some cases. I know a certain very large encyclopedia that used to get a lot more traffic than it did, than it does now, and now it doesn't even come up in search results. You know,
encyclopedia.
Which a real encyclopedia too, not one of those wiki brands.
Like Britannica?
Maybe.
Okay. I didn't hear about it. I'm just guessing.
No, Britannica is still publishing, still fine, all that sort of stuff, but how often do you see it in search?
Sometimes, but not commonly. As much as I see Wikipedia.
Well, indeed, because and this actually sort of merges into the tone of our next story, because people like it that way. And it's not that they dislike Wikipedia or Britannica. It's just that Wikipedia is more functional, easier to use, more popular. Muscle memory dictates you type WIKI or however you access it. You know what I mean? Like it just comes up more frequently than the older predecessors do.
People probably search it a lot more. They forget things like Britannica exist.
Well, indeed, but again, in the how to say this? I remember the early part of this century when Britannica was actually a serious player in the information technology space, in the information retrieval space. Wikipedia just was infinitely sexier and infinitely more interesting and versatile. And updated much faster than Britannica did. I know a lot about Britannica, but honestly, I don't think I'm able to this. Well, they used to be clients of a company I worked for. I had meetings with them at SES shows. Remember that SES show in San Jose? I think it was probably one of the last great big search engine strategy shows in San Jose. I spent a great deal of time meeting with Britannica. And they, again, they were rocking search way the hell back then, but they were getting links and people were citing them instead of other sources, in links on websites. And that was so much the secret sauce at exactly that time. Now Wikipedia, honestly, just the way it functions makes it much more versatile in Google's eyes than a website like Britannica that is much slower and doesn't update as frequently and isn't cited nearly as frequently as Wikipedia. And it's not that Britannica is bad. Britannica was remains an amazing resource. Just that something else ticks all the boxes even more and faster.
Yeah, and when people think that Google prefers big brands, it's not that. It's just the signals that come from big brands are so much stronger. And as much as Google likes to say that links don't matter, links matter almost as much as they ever have. So it's not as likely a site like Wikipedia would be harmed as much by an action by Google. Although manual action is a little bit different because that's a suppression that they decide. The reviewer decides how much to put on your site.
No. Again, just so listeners are clear, Wikipedia is in absolutely no jeopardy of getting any actions against it from Google. In fact, the exact opposite is probably true.
Yeah, they use it for their training. Like it's their training data for a lot of things, knowledge panel, AI, all that stuff.
And this is going to be a stretch for people. It's really, really hard to wrap our brains around this in the face of what you see in front of you in the SERPs. But those Reddit links that are appearing in many cases, that's just the way the machine works. And it's kind of...
Well, it's not it's just kinda, how it works. Well, it's the hidden gems algorithm that's surfacing. So it is a special
partially.
Algorithm.
It is partially. It's also partially that users are clicking those links in Google results. they're actually going to them. And part of that, I think, is because they're clickbaity headlines. I mean, like, come on. There's like a whole bunch of like grease and fat and French fries over here and some broccoli over there. Where are you clicking on a boring Monday?
Yeah, but somebody showed a graph of how much they've gone up since, supposedly since the deal. I don't think the deal has anything to do with it. I think it's the Hidden Gems algorithm. The Hidden Gems algorithm like got really massively applied around that time too. And it looks like Mount Everest. Like they went from flat plains land to like massive mountain. And there's no doubt that in my search results, there is almost a Reddit post in every single search that I do where they show that box. So they show that box. It's not like other sites. And then sometimes Reddit, it's like Reddit, Reddit, Quora. And then sometimes there's a third site that's in there.
So
there is an issue with the algorithm, or they are manually pushing it up. One of the two.
I think it's an algorithm, but honestly, I don't think Google wants this to happen on purpose. But I do believe Danny Sullivan, Search Liaison, when he fights back at his detractors, saying, "Look, people are voting with their mouse buttons. Our user data says people like this." I think he's right. We don't like it, but we're not the common searcher. We have an agenda when we do a search. We want to see our clients there. And no. You're right, there's a problem, because I think our clients in many cases are more authoritative than some guy at Reddit.
No, that's not my problem with it. Like, I was sick. I was still getting over bronchitis, right? Mm-hmm. I was sick of bronchitis, and I was trying to find, I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, I was trying to find some, like, what's really good. Like, they know now, scientifically, that chicken soup is good for a cold, right? So I was trying to find out if pho had any special medicinal, nutritional properties. And, like, Reddit, core. And then there's also like 30 other results that were just like opinions or recipes. And then I got to like an actual medical, like science-backed article. So there is something going on with the algorithms, and I see it a lot in personal search. It's not that my clients are being beat by this little box with four in it. That's not happening. My clients don't work in that space. But I do find as a searcher, it's just very frustrating that it appears, and then how many other results around it are like opinions or something that's a blog and I'm like, I'm trying to find real information here, and I've got to go 30, 40 deep to find like an authoritative article on something that should have an authoritative result, not in a bunch of opinions. So I do agree that people's issues with it are probably fairly justified. We just notice it more as we do search.
I did just search for chicken soup scientifically proven, and that's all I entered, because it sort of trailed off from there. And National Health Service was my very first result, and it in fact does lower white blood cells going to an infection, so it is proven.
Yes, it is proven. But so if I put in pho, which is not that different from chicken soup, I got 30 opinions for Reddit blogs and recipe sites. So I'm just saying that I think their algorithms are.
Oh, it is scientifically proven to be delicious.
Yes,
that
it is
true.
It's my go-to food when I'm sick. I think it has a little bit of all the vitamins in it, because I add jalapenos and cilantro and Thai basil and all that stuff. But anyway, the point being is I do think they've overamped with Hidden Gems. And I do think that people's complaints in our industry a lot of times are very valid. They're not related to clients being harmed, but just seeing it as often as we do. And because we're in search, we notice it all the time.
Okay, so
like a regular person might not notice it, but we notice it.
Sort of prejudicing any communication you may already have going with Google, any conversation you might have with Search Liaison, with John Mueller, or anybody that you may be talking to on the side. So again, just stressing, I'm asking Christina Creston without prejudice on any or all conversations. Christine, does Google listen when people have complaints? Do you think they're actually like gonna make changes because SEOs are pissed and complaining?
Sometimes I do think they take the responses seriously. I think less so right now, but like I'm looking right now while we're doing this at a conversation between Taylor Berg. She's a growth and strategy person for Talkspace. Mm-hmm. And she's talking to Danny and saying that, she thinks Google's being dismissive, and Danny's like, "Well, we're not trying to be dismissive." And she's like, "Not you." But, she's showing all these issues that she's having, and she just tried to find information about a game the other night, and she couldn't even find a game information. So she had to go to fandom to get the information because it was all wrong. Everything came back on poor Reddit and like, you know, the what's the other one? Poor Reddit, Nessie, all was wrong. Anyways, the point being is sometimes they do, and I think sometimes though it takes others to make the complaint. Like we've been complaining about search for a year is when it started to really take the turn. And it wasn't until a few months ago when academics started talking about it, when publishers started writing about it, big names, you know, started saying, hey, this isn't going so well, that they started to say, maybe we need to do something. Then they did this big rollout in March, and which has turned out to be not good for the most, for a lot of the parts. And so I don't know what they're going to do next, but I do think that they at some point will listen if enough people are talking to them and they think their criticism is based in legitimate issues and wanting it to be better. Not if someone's just complaining.
So how do people give them feedback?
Most of the time I see the feedback go through on Twitter. I do know they have like this special place now after these updates, you can be able to like tell them where you think it went wrong. On Google, like there's actually going to be a link, or there is a link already. I'm not sure if the link is there.
In developer forms, actually, in Google Developer.
Yeah. Yeah. So they are taking feedback. What they'll do with it, who knows? Because I think right now, a lot of the decisions are being made way high up about what they're going to do and where they're going to go. So I don't know that the engineers have as much ability to make change as they usually do.
Okay. Well, we'll see. I mean, like it's. We'll see how things shake out in the next couple of weeks. The pain out there is quite real yes. For people who have lost business and lost placements. If Google's to be believed, you should be able to start recovering fairly quickly if you can figure out why you got schlumped in the first place. Google has said, although I can't find a lot of people talking about it, I do remember Google saying that this isn't site-wide anymore. It's now page-wide. Or now it plays on a document-by-document basis.
That makes sense if it's moved to the core update, because the core update is applied at the query level.
So if that's the case, then you should be able to start seeing recovery if you figure out what it or it's.
That's
the
question,
series of
right?
Issues that might be the problem. Well,
I'm not getting answers, so I'm not one of the ones they're talking to right now, because I've asked them, like, the HCU moved into core update, so doesn't mean it's always running anymore. You changed it, so how did you change it? We don't have information on that. And then is it only going to roll out when they do a core update rollout, or is it going to be part of the main ranking signals and then always running, but then core updates are the updates to those ranking signals? We don't have any answers on any of that right now that I've seen. So those are big questions that Google really needs to answer for us if anyone's going to recover their sites. Like, we need to know how those things are working. And right now, we don't really know how they're working. Like, if HCU moved to the page level, that's a massive change.
You know, maybe we're at, well, I shouldn't say this because I'm just trying to dangle a little bit of fame in front of somebody's nose. Hopefully they'll jump for it. But maybe we're asking the wrong person here. Maybe we should be asking Gary Ives. Because he's been putting out these really cool videos. Like this video series he's putting out is going, it's stripping information down to its basics. And then actually giving you some fairly high level information, but he's explaining it like we're five.
Yeah, he won't answer. I've at least not me. I'm on the no list right now, I guess. Sometimes I get answers all the time, sometimes not at all. Because he says in this ranking signals, so he mentions the following: relevancy to the user, query relevance, we know that. Hundreds of factors determine that relevance, of course. Mm-hmm. Web page content is the most important factor. That matches what I've talked about before, and you and I have talked about before, where the neural matching algorithm, which is just query to document text, has probably been amplified. But it's the most important by a smidge. There's other factors like links that still really matter. Other factors include user location, language, and device type. That's in a slide, by the way, I put together 7 years ago. quality of the web page and site are taken into ranking consideration, of course. Quality equals uniqueness of content, of course, because you have to be not what's, you know, you can't be duplicating what other people are saying. By the way, again, AI, we have to remind our listeners, AI just regurgitates what exists. So that's probably why people are not doing well with it after the initial bump. Relative importance of the page to the internet. Only thing I can think of is that's links.
Oh yeah,
and they
that's
don't want
linked.
to say
I'm
link.
Positive that's linked profile too.
Okay,
that's the
they
first
won't
thing
answer
I
me on
thought
that
when I
one.
saw
I've
that.
asked on Twitter and asked on LinkedIn, and no one's answering me. I'm just like, seriously, is this just links? And they
How
don't want to say
do you
links.
stack up in your footprint? That's got to be what it means.
Yeah, I think so. Because what does relative importance of the page on the internet possibly mean aside from links? Yeah, so that's what my thought was. Okay, I'm glad you agree because they won't
No,
answer.
don't forget, that's not just your page and the links that come to it, but that's also the relative footprint of all the people linking to them. Google's really complicated about this. It's not just you in isolation.
Yeah, I tell people sometimes they have declines and they can't figure out why. And sometimes we go to check their link profile because if somebody who is linking to them got, like, let's say a bunch of these sites that got smashed last month and this month were linking to you, well, you would lose value, but it's not anything you did. It's that your site's linking to you lost value, so your link profile lost value. So now you're ranking lower.
Yeah, and that can actually have a weird cascade effect to a couple. You know the game 6 Degrees to Kevin Bacon?
Yeah.
It's sort of like that. It can have a weird if a site that was important giving you important links is itself devalued because it had bunky links coming into it, the value of the links coming from it will devalue.
Yes. And then your link out
There
will
you
not
go.
be as high. Yes.
So it's
So,
this
and
whole
then the other,
it's got to be what he means.
right. And then the other thing with surface search features are query dependent, of course. Like if you're gonna get a review, it's going to be like a product review. You're not going to get a review if you're just a site about, information, your dictionary, not getting reviews. So the things like that. So all those make sense. All of them are very well known. For people who are unfamiliar with a lot of this, go to just search for Google's ranking systems developer doc, and it will explain all the ranking systems and all this information on how they assess it in a more general term. They're all there. Just make sure to follow all the blue links in what they mentioned, because there's massive information below those blue links. So less information in the initial. But also you have to put ranking systems developer doc, because as we've said many times on the show, Google's terrible at search SEO, and you can't get it to come up if you don't put developer doc. So it'll be like 50 down or something. It's
Okay.
crazy.
Now, importantly, check out the series of video that Gary's doing. This
Yes.
I love this initiative he's taking on. Again, he's explaining some really complicated things as if for 5-year-olds, and he's doing it well. And I think I'd like to see him do a lot more of it because the more Google can do to demystify search and how it works, the better it is for our entire industry,
It is,
especially
and
for
it's
service
called,
providers.
yes, yeah, it's called How Search Works is the series. So you can find it on YouTube. It's really easy, or find it on Google.
Go
I mean,
there,
like Google
like
Search.
it, subscribe to it, give it all your lovin'.
Yeah, because although I have to admit, when I first saw it, I thought he was AI. He was wearing a suit. I've never seen Gary wear a suit.
Oh,
But
that
he
was just
did.
a special effect he was doing.
It was a funny, he was making it funny on the Microsoft Apple ads from years ago. But I didn't know. First, I'm like, ask someone, I'm like, is he this AI? Is this really Gary? But so yeah, so it's a really good series, and it's really good. Even if you're advanced, you're like, a basic how search works, I don't need that. Yeah, you should listen to it because he gives a lot of definite details. Like we just read that list of ranking signals. Now, most of us know those list of ranking signals, but people who are junior haven't been around a long time, they probably didn't know all those. So it's a really good a chance, and the videos are not that long.
Yeah, more importantly, like this is something you can train your own staff on, but for me, this is stuff you can train clients on. Honest to goodness, like if you're doing technical SEO and you have to explain the importance of pre-rendering, why am I making you go through this canonicalization? Why am I making you go through this an entire like link review? Why am I making you go through this? Here's why.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So that might, since I was wondering about Gary's fakeness, do we want to go to that story?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, since I was wondering if Gary was AI, do we want to go to the new Microsoft AI story?
Oh, sure.
Because that's terrifying.
It is, but it was, I mean, like it is okay. So Microsoft has released a new AI that
It takes a
is
photo. And it syncs the lips and makes it move. Syncs the facial expressions, the lips, everything. So if you look at it really closely, you can still kind of tell that it's not quite synced, but
But
it's
from a mere
really
photograph,
close.
Microsoft can make you or anybody you want speak a script. And it looks real in video.
Or sing.
Yep.
It can sing. Yeah. Or, but it's, it, like,
it's the only way I'll ever sing on tune.
One of them is making the Mona Lisa rap, which is kind of funny. There's a Twitter thread on this from a person. Oh, where's their name? Don Michael or something like that. Anyway, there's a Twitter thread on it. You can find the article at VentureBeat that lists the Twitter thread. And it is interesting to see what they created, but man, oh, it's Minchoi, M-I-N-C-H-O-I. That's the account, M-I-N-C-H-O-I, and Twitter. But all the things that nefariously can do with this, from personal level to the nation state level, like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's only a matter of time before we get images of some CEO talking about eating babies and drinking their blood for the adrenochrome. It's only a matter of time.
Well, it can be even more simple than that, though, right? Like, somebody hates somebody, and they take a video and make and send it to their significant other of the person, saying that they are having an affair. So, like, there's so many ways this can be used so badly. It should not be something we just have rights to. But apparently right now we will. So again, it's not released as a product or API yet, though. So.
The stuff you can download to your own hard drive and work with is phenomenal and terrifying at the same time.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's no guardrails, and there's nobody to control what people create. The only way we can control the outputs is controlling distribution. It's the only logical thing to think, the only logical way to think about it. So this is going to happen. It's out there. There's like it's a very, very, very big, thick genie that you need to stick back into a tiny little bottle. Ain't gonna happen.
No, although let's just remind everybody, there is a scam out there where someone can take 3 seconds of your voice and they can create a full audio that sounds just like you. So make sure with your family and friends you have safe words in case anyone tries to scam you by pretending to be you.
And also be very careful when responding to chatbot conversations over your computer or over the telephone.
Telephone? You have a telephone?
Oh, well, myself, I got a telephone, and I get spam phone calls all the time.
I get the
and,
text.
Okay, this reminds me of those old urban legends where you're like, and you got to watch out when you go into the shopping mall's parking lot because you got to look in the back door of your car before you get in, just in case somebody's waiting there for you. That's what this feels like, but it's actually real. I think this feels more real than the threat of somebody in the backseat of your car. Don't say yes on the telephone to a chatbot. Just don't, because it could be somebody recording you, waiting to mix that with all a bunch of other information they bought off the dark web about you. And open a new bank account in your name.
And you've
just given them permission.
Yeah, because my bank account actually says there's a phrase you say to my bank and it will let you access your account. So you just need the account information, which isn't hard to get. And the other thing too is text messages. Let's give people warning for text messages. I get text messages all the time. They're like, hi, how are you doing? Or, hey, are we still meeting later? And it seems innocuous. When I look at the text history, we have no text history. I look at the number. I always search the number in search.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know this number. This number isn't anybody in my contacts. That is someone who, there's an elaborate scam that goes with that. So you get text messages you don't know. You get phone calls from people that you don't know. Don't answer them. You know, if someone's going to call you and you're not sure of the number, tell them to text you first. Yeah. That's what I always do. Text me first. Let me know you're going to call and I'll pick up the phone. But be very, very careful, because with the amount of deep fake technology that's hitting the public, and you can be assured the scammers and the really bad people already have this technology, that they can do bad things to your life. So make sure you set up a safe word with your family and make sure that you don't answer people you do not know.
And remember, always check the back of your car and supermarket parking lots and wash all your Girl Guide cookies before eating them. You have no idea what they're sprayed with.
Oh,
it's true.
Of course, so as a girl, I do check the backseat of the car, but this is a girl thing.
Okay. We got to keep. Unfortunately, we have another show coming up directly after us in the studio, so we got to keep moving. We're halfway through. You know what? This was only another thing that was only a matter of time, for God's sake. Like, all the safeguards have completely broken down, and there's no way that they could possibly police the bots over there at Twixter at X.com. And so Elon Musk, brilliant man that he is going to charge people for the right to tweet.
New people
New people. Just a
for 3 months,
small fee. And it's
but
the
what's
only way to
this?
get rid of the bots, which
Oh my
will
gosh! Oh my
improve
gosh!
user experiences for everybody.
First of all, the bot armies, fake account armies, because not all bots, there are a lot of fake accounts with humans behind them from nation states. I've already started on Twitter. I'm dealing with them now every day when I haven't. I'd forgotten how nice it was. I mean, I've forgotten how annoying it was to have to deal with them all the time because they had gotten better about eliminating those, and they also had been dormant because it wasn't an election. Well, now they're back, and I'm getting like these like probably blocking 20 to 40 people a day. But on top of that, remember when Musk released the pay for verify program was going to stop all the bots? Well, you know, big people who are trying to manipulate the entire population of countries in the world generally have money to pay for that. So that didn't stop anything. And then apparently, troll farms, which are usually humans, not bots, can pass the "Are you bot with ease?" like so he was saying. So now they're going to charge people. I think it's this. I can't remember what the fee is, but I think it's like $3 a month or something for 3 months. And it's just like, what is that going to stop? You know what would stop it? Is finding where in your stack people can make these accounts so easily by hundreds of thousands and millions. There was a point where one MIT tracked down one group that had made 300,000 accounts. There were places on the dark web where you could buy 100,000 at a time. That means there's an issue in your system that makes it very easy to do that because they're obviously not going one at a time to create those, right? They're using scripts. So, but he just has another
Well,
silly way to do things, try to raise
you
money
see,
for himself.
I was about to say, you're looking at it all the wrong way, Christine.
Yeah,
Never
it's
let a
not
good
about
disaster
security.
go to waste.
Yes.
And this is Elon Musk thinking. Never let a good disaster go to waste. You're thinking about ways that he can spend money to solve the problem. He's thinking about ways he can make money to solve the problem.
Exactly. And he's not trying to solve the problem. If he did, he'd put the security team back together. And like I told you, I'm on community notes and there's a Discord for us. And we haven't anyone had a single Twitter employee in there in at least 3 months. But we
Well,
imagine they're all gone too.
and that probably shows there are few to no safeguards at Twitter right now.
There are a few in there.
According to NBC News, verified pro-Nazi Twitter or Twixter X accounts have flourished since Musk has taken over.
Tough.
In fact, NBC News identified 150 verified, these are verified blue check marks, premium accounts that have posted or amplified blatant pro-Nazi content.
Yes.
$3 a pop, I mean, or $3 a month. I mean, sure,
Eight for
that'll
pro.
stop the problem.
It was eight for premium. I don't know what he's doing with premium now. I've forgotten if he's stopped charging completely because he's giving people their verifieds again or something. But yeah. I mean, do we need to say any more? I mean, he's never gotten rid of the Nazi problem on there, and that's why the advertisers left in droves. So he's apparently still not addressing the issue. I have to say, I don't think he really cares to address the issue, but that's just my personal opinion.
Well, his behavior suggests he agrees with a lot of those posts.
Yes,
He
he's
amplifies them himself.
he amplifies the Nazi posts. He's repeated Nazi propaganda. He's repeated anti-Semitic statements that he knows are anti-Semitic because if he didn't know the 10,000 people that reply and tell him, he would know. So yeah, he does seem to like to hang in the same area of the pool with the pro-Nazi content.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there we go. So, okay, the last thing we should have mentioned this about a week ago. Last or yeah, we should have mentioned this last week because last week Twitter Twixter, sorry, don't wrong name it, implemented a automatic
Yeah.
URL changer.
Just a rewriter, though. Just a rewrite.
Rewrote every URL that had twitter.com to x.com. Just that
Yes.
became part of Twitter's functionality, but because it's a place that has very few engineers and people who are able to look over each other's shoulders and say that's good, but that's bad. Anything that was like actually X.com got changed.
Well, Twitter probably gone to X. So like people got domains like Net FLI Twitter, and it was changed to Netflix. You know? So if you tw fortunately some of the people were good researchers who bought them up so they couldn't be used for harm. But basically, like if it had an X in the name, they would put Twitter there and it would be rewritten on the front end to say X.com. But on the back end, it was still going to the original URL. So that was
So it
smart.
became a hacker's paradise.
Yes, the
Like if,
spammers too.
so anyway, yeah, people did try to, and this is the community tried to create its own guardrails and tried to, purchase up domains to prevent harm to others. I doubt they could purchase like everything. I don't know if there was any harm caused to others either, but it happened.
It did, and it mostly happened on an iPhone, so I haven't been able to check if it's been completely fixed or not yet. But the engineers are aware, and I think they probably rolled it back. I think this was just an Elon edict from the top that they would no longer display Twitter; they would display X, because he doesn't think past his, emotions. Didn't think about the fact that you could change GoodR Twitter into GoodR X, and then that could be a bad website with malicious malware or something.
Stupid people.
Oh.
Okay. We're moving into the last quarter of the show. We're moving towards this. I want to start doing some rapid fire stuff. Do you remember those old profiles in like Google Search Console that like you had access to clients you haven't actually spoken with for years, but nobody forgot to remove or nobody remembered to remove your access from a search profile from Search Console?
I have many of those.
You mightn't actually, well, you know what? You might want to go look because you mightn't have as many as you think. Because suddenly Google is warning site owners that there's a whole bunch of unused tokens that are able to access the profile.
That would be amazing because I have something like one account put me on 40 of their accounts. I don't know why. And you have to go in and remove them one at a time. And once I've told the client three times to remove me, I just stopped. But I'm not going in there and removing 40 of them one at a time. So if they remove me from all those, I'd be very happy.
Oh, indeed.
So,
I honestly don't think
yeah.
it's our responsibility to
No.
remove ourselves from that data and to sever ourselves from all that juicy information. Now, I think responsibly and ethically, we should go looking afterwards. Although I'm not sure why, as long as we don't tell other people. I mean, the NDAs still apply, I would think, honorably. And you do learn a lot, even though it's not yours to look at anymore.
Yeah,
It's a quandary, don't you think?
well, because they're still giving you access, and I've asked them to remove me three times. I figure at that point they're allowing me to have access.
Yeah, I
So,
feel no guilt.
which, yeah, I feel no guilt, but I do use it for research sometimes. I would never share anything, but
Course not.
sometimes if there's an algorithm update or something like that, I just go and check and see. Well, how did they do? I don't know everything. Maybe I haven't worked with them in a couple of years. Some of them have been on there for 10 years, but it's like it's a little data, it's a little extra information, and like I said, you have to go. They used to have an ability to like just check a list and delist yourself from all of them. So I've asked them, please put that back. But right now, you have to go remove yourself from every single version. So like if someone gives you a domain account and then an HTTPS and an HTTP and a www and a non-www, maybe because you're doing a migration, you have to go remove yourself from each one individually. So it's a nightmare.
Anyway, Google's letting site owners know that there's extraneous access out there. And so you may lose. So just if you really are tied to looking at that data, you might want to go take a last look because it may or may not be there next week. Here's a good one. Here's one that I'm glad they say, how should we say, confirmed this, although I'm question why it needed confirming in the first place. Just so you know, Google crawl budget is allocated by the host name, not by the server, not by individual pages. So you.com, get your own actually I should say you.com because it's actually a website. Your URL.com gets its own crawl budget.
Well, the domain name is the host name, so Like if you have a subdomain, it's a separate crawl budget. Just a note though, Pedro Diaz, like who used to work with Google, he put out a chart the other day, like when you have to worry about crawl budget, and he like basically got to like 3 billion URLs, and then maybe you have to worry. I will just say, I had a site that had React, and Google could create pages through React, and we had a faceted nav leak, which meant they could just create pages. They created 2 billion pages. That site still got crawled like it always got crawled, and that site got ranked like it always ranked. So really, crawl budget is not a thing unless you're like either you're serving massive amounts. Like I have a site that has 111 megabyte image. Yeah, that may have a crawl budget issue if there's a lot of those. But generally speaking, you have to have a really large site to even worry about a crawl budget. Way too many people worry about it that don't have to worry about it at all.
Actually, I saw Google completely readjust a site's crawl budget very recently in the most beneficial way.
Nice. That is
it's
awesome.
Now making it's now making fewer requests but downloading far more information. And for that, I feel very good. That site, by the way, for the last 3 days has hit record traffic numbers. Record click traffic numbers as measured in Search Console. I'm really pleased with this.
Hey!
What?
Sorry, I don't know what you just said because Siri decided to show up at my Mac and talk to me without any prompting. So
I
had
I was just humble bragging is what I was doing.
Oh, about your crawl budget? Yeah, that's awesome. You did good
I'm feeling
there.
Awfully good about that.
Yeah. Very cool.
Okay, here's another one. Again, I'm not sure why we have to verify, well, because John Mueller verified it, but I'm not sure why he had to verify it, because it's just something y'all ought to, possibly, y'all should know. But in case you were wondering, should you or should you not disallow internal footer links, like some page sculpting class you took back in day school? Don't. And John's reply, and I
this is the best line John has ever given, I think, and he's given some good lines.
John Mueller says about disallowing some pages that are in your footer, if you do this, future you will be annoyed by problems current you is creating.
Yes, I need to remember that for some audits.
Absolutely. I mean, you see, look somebody in the eye stone cold and say that to them, eh?
Yes, that's very good. And I don't mean to laugh, but, you know, don't disallow your internal and your internal links. Like you may follow something to an advertorial page or something, but don't disallow them.
Okay, so this comes from a historically inaccurate practice called page rank sculpting, in which you would direct Google's energy through your website using nofollow and no tag at all, just the default do follow. So that didn't actually work in the real world, but it sold a heck of a lot of soap. Matt Cutts in 2010 said it didn't happen. John Mueller has said this doesn't happen. But because it was written in a fairly prominent SEO blog and, you know, sold as a technique, many people believe it happened. There you go.
Well, there you go.
Google reiterates page rank sculpting is not a thing. It doesn't do anything. I don't think it does either, because Google's going to follow and record that information. And it's going to allocate.
It assumes a straight linear path through your site too.
Yeah,
like Google doesn't necessarily crawl always like from the home page and then follow all your links as you're given them on the page. Like, yeah. So.
Well, it also assumes that there's I'm just making this number up. Let's say Google assigns your website out of a factor of 100, and every website gets 100 to start. It assumes that you can, you know, understand and manipulate how much of that 100, that Google juice, that energy, gets left on every page as Google moves through your website. Google's going to allocate that stuff whether you nofollow a page or not. It's going to figure out how much it values every page in its website, and then follow your directives on whether they should be displayed or not.
Now, there is always one, it depends to everything, right? Google. And that is depth of site. So if you have pages that are really deep into the site, there is a way that the page rank flows through the site that it gets kind of weak if you're 6, 7, 8 levels down versus second level or third level. This does not mean put everything on the root level either, which is what people did when they misinterpreted that from Google.
Nick, well, so, Google still has to distribute, its perceived value of the website throughout the whole website.
Yes. Yeah.
Whether exactly. You're at root level or not, it still feels the same way about that document.
That's why pages with no links on a very strong website still rank. So,
yep. Okay.
There's only the links to the page. A lot of pages would never see the light of day.
Bottom line, don't disallow internal footer links. Let Google flow where. Well, you know what a better idea? Optimize your internal footer links. Put them there if they're necessary.
And don't keyword stuff them.
Yeah. use footers for like important administrative nav. This is stuff that you need to know to get around the website. It'll get you to every, major top level page and all the administrative stuff. Here's a quick question for you. Should you use your footer to duplicate all the top level of your top level nav?
Yeah, actually, I do it top level, not second and third levels. I do that because people may be at the bottom of the page and want to link to something. I have to go all the way back to the top. But you don't want to keyword stuff it, and you don't want to make it a wall of links, because Google caught on to that many years ago, and they started devaluing the amount of emphasis they give from a footer link, like the amount of value they give from a footer link. So I still see people like keyword stuffing those and stuffing the footer with like 100 links. Don't do that. Like, if you have some major, also like some major things that kind of get buried, sometimes you put those in the footer too, like the about us and contact us and things like that.
Okay. Here's one I hate. I don't like this at all. This makes me mad. And it's not because I'm an old fogey. It's because I'm an addict.
It is. I'm totally kidding.
Well, I am an old fogey, but I'm also an addict. I hate short form videos because I watch them forever. You get me in a string of short form videos, and half an hour later, I'm looking at the ceiling going, where did that time go? Google is testing putting short video option in its search menu bar. I don't need this. I don't need this. Google.
Actually,
I don't
know how successful it's going to be, right? Because you already have TikTok has long form now, but started as all short form.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Facebook has Reels and Instagram Reels.
Oh my God, I watched that for hours.
Yeah, and I believe recently though, YouTube short videos aren't doing that well. But if you're on like TikTok or you're on Facebook, it leads one into another, into another, into another, into another. And then you could click one and it leads you to another. And I don't know how this works in Google, but unless it's got that kind of findability, I just don't see it as being that. I think they're just trying to compete. I think Google is doing a lot of shiny object chasing these days.
I normally don't root for Google to like completely, completely drop the ball on something, but my God, I hope they screw this one up. Because...
Yeah,
I have no, Christine. I feel ashamed of myself for this. I have no idea how I fell into this little rat trap, but I thought I was immune to this sort of stuff, but I'm not.
Oh no, no, you're human.
Oh
but
my
I can
God.
Turn it off. Like I do like to watch like the short videos in the morning, or if I need a little break during the day. But yeah, it's built on dopamine hits. There's a whole psychology behind it. The woman Facebook whistleblower talked about that. How they create things to make the brain get hooked.
Roller coaster videos. You give me a good roller coaster video, and
it's
like catnip in front of a cat. I love roller coasters. I will travel to go on a good roller coaster.
Those are fun videos.
I know, but then they lead to something else, and suddenly you're watching like weather patterns in Hawaii.
This is true. I stop when it diverts me, and then I'm like, okay, I'm done. I was watching cats. Now we're into cooking something that I don't even care about. So no,
you're a much stronger search user than I. That's for
no,
sure.
No, I just have so limited time in my day.
Oh yeah, like my huge amounts of free time here.
By the way, there's no easy segue into this, So, but I do think this is kind of a cool thing. I do hope Google uses it in the results of businesses. And they are going to, they've asked businesses to tell them if they have a defibrillator, an AED in their business, which isn't just to help people that go to the business, but also for emergency responders. If they know that there's a business with a defibrillator in it, like a first responder, someone on the scene who's, trained but has no equipment with them, it will tell them that there's a defibrillator in the business, which I think would be pretty awesome and save some lives. So I don't usually like applaud Google stuff these days, but I think that's actually a really handy, helpful thing.
People have speculated that Google is looking to know when spammers are having heart attacks so they can extra juice a defibrillator.
And we
Yes.
don't know they're going to put it in the profile or maps yet, but I have to assume if they're asking businesses to say that they have one, they would display it somewhere. So.
Yeah, that's actually a very that's a smart initiative. That's a cool thing to do. Google does do cool things like that every once in a while.
Yeah, my
They were
tip
the
old Google.
Actually, they were the second to, but they did follow Ask.com's lead in 2010, introducing bicycling directions in Google Maps. First people to do that. Now, people know if you use a bicycle frequently, you probably don't need a defibrillator. So,
Hopefully not, but
hopefully not.
still possible. Still possible.
Okay, we got a couple sec. We got a couple minutes left.
Well, here's one that I haven't even looked at it since it launched because I think it's so dumb, but it's just maybe me. Google Notes on search may or may not go away in May. We don't know for sure yet, but apparently it says that it has an expiration date of May this year. But we know as an SGE, it didn't go away, just the test went away.
Well, SGE has is still there, but
Well, this is notes,
it's
though. This is the notes part, not the SGE.
I don't think Notes is going anywhere. I just don't.
Oh, it's so dumb.
That requires a lot. That requires work on the part of both searcher and searcher and user. I just yeah, so yeah, not a. But we'll see.
Apparently, it's had a lot of issues too, as we all thought it might have issues with people putting in things that are bad or spammy or whatever. I just don't understand the purpose of it unless it's training their AI. I just think it's the silliest thing.
Yeah, I
And if you
think
don't know
this.
what notes are, it's like people can add a note to a search result, and I think it's only in mobile that it shows up, and it might have like 80 notes, and it's like they're just people's comments. It's like, why do I need to see people's comments about websites? I don't know. Doesn't make any sense. And I just tried to pull one up live, but the first four I hit had no notes, so maybe people are not using it. The number five, no notes. And this is a recipe site. Six, no notes. So maybe people are not leaving the notes. Maybe it will go away in me. I don't know. I just think it's just really dumb. I need to leave notes on a search result, but who knows?
Okay, probably the last story we're gonna have a chance to get to. Do you know the browser maker Brave?
Yes.
There's a browser. It calls itself the privacy browser, although I understand it wasn't as truly private as its
Yeah, I
designers
read the
claimed it
claim.
was. However, they double down on privacy. They want to record as little information about their users as possible. That's one of their company mantras. And they've developed a new AI search engine, AI-ish, called Answers with AI. It's got its own search index of the billions of websites. Apparently, they're serving 10 billion search queries per year, which sounds like a lot at the beginning, but then you realize Google serves a trillion or so, what, every month. Anyway, this is probably worth checking out, not because it's a great search engine, but because they're using AI in several different ways, and they're only using it for certain types of search. They're not using it for commercial searches whatsoever. It's useless for a product search, according to Brave. Doesn't AI does not work for product search. But they're using large language model and retrieval augmented generation, all developed by themselves. which is another thing that makes it interesting. It's their own AI.
Yeah, I just I think you should read the article that Roger Monti put together in Search Engine Journal about this.
I did.
Oh no, not you. I mean, people listening. Of course you did. Rave announces AI search engine because they do share a lot of information about how they actually put this together, and so you can learn about how. Not saying Google does it this way, but at least it gives you an idea of how Google may be doing it. I still
Google,
have
maybe
a,
how Google may want to do it.
Maybe I still have a huge issue with it in search because, like, real quick today, I was looking for a recipe for crunchy ribs, and I got like what would be equivalent on desktop of 1,000 pixel tall search generated thing. And all I could think of is this is a recipe, and recipe sites are generally, there's some big companies, but a lot of them are small businesses or single people. And now there's this 1,000 pixel result on the top, and no one's going to go past it. And why? Why do I need to read a summary of you taking other people's content and summarizing it for me so they don't get a clue? Like, because literally, if people don't click to websites, and it can just be a drop of 20 to 40%, it doesn't have to be 90%, these sites are going to die. So I don't understand the idea of search engines, especially ones as big as Google. Brave is a very small one, so that's different. Who are doing this because the sites feed them,
and again,
right? So,
Brave's result sets are radically different than Google's
SGE
result
they
sets.
Are. They
radically
are.
Different.
Yeah. I'm just adding my addendum to the idea of summarized search results because they are doing summarized search results too.
Oh, they are. They are. That's a part of their search results. But again, their search results sets, the way they got them laid out, you get to the organic result sets right there for screen.
I have not seen the layout, and I just tried to turn it on and couldn't.
No, so. Again, I think if Google and Bing as well should look at what Brave's doing. I remember how Ask, which was a okay search engine, it was the innovative search engine. Oh my God, those engineers pushed boundaries, and then Google, what was then at the time Microsoft's. Oh goodness, I'm forgetting what Microsoft used to call itself. Microsoft's old search engine before Bing, predecessor to Bing, and Yahoo used to follow what Ask.com did. I'm hoping Brave is
it's not
gonna fill
like
that role.
I just like that. It's very similar to SGE. I just got a triggered one. And and the problem with this isn't their information they're synthesizing. They're using other people's copyrighted information, and they're just rewriting it with LLMs, right? So so when those people don't get clicks and they're not getting paid for this information, you know what? I don't understand this concept, because what happens to the websites? The smaller ones, they die pretty quickly. The bigger ones, no, they may not die right away, but they're definitely going to start diversifying off of a search engine.
There
so
is
I just
going to be a great deal of chum
concept.
In the water when this, as this moves through, most certainly. A lot of websites and a lot of people, a lot of websites who aren't able to hold on while not making revenue for a while until they figure it out, are going to go by the wayside. That's going to happen.
But
and
that's what
awful.
Feeds. That's what I'm saying. It's what feeds them, right? They buy their ads. They display their ads. They are the data they need to train on, because they're already out of data to train on. So they need new websites to train on. Who's going to want to make a website if they know they can't get any traffic from search, or they're just going to block search? Anyway, my point being is I don't think these are helpful in search. They may seem helpful to the user because they now get something summarized for them, but it's bad for the condition of the internet. So they're being bad citizens.
Again, I did a number of searches with Brave earlier. I was happy with the layout. I didn't get the result that Christina is getting, where SGE blocked the, or where, we're not SGE, I'm sorry, where generated results blocked the entire screen. I actually thought
it didn't
the
block
they,
the entire screen, but it was pretty large.
I thought the way that they blocked things out were better than any other search engine I've seen doing it.
I just don't believe they should
far.
Be in there at all, is my thing, because they're summarizing other people's information, and now the people won't click on stuff.
Perhaps, but that's what everybody's doing, and it's not going to stop. So, but perhaps they should. But
yes. Well, remember, you can block some of the crawlers. So unfortunately, you cannot block Google. So.
Okay. On that, we got to jump. We're a little bit over time. So, on behalf of Christian Chackager from Sites Without Walls, this is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media. You have been listening to Webcology on WMR.FM, recorded live to podcast on the 18th of April, 2024. Friends, be really good to each other. Be kind, be happy, be optimistic, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye, everybody.